Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
We're right smack dab in the middle of a three-part series. This is week two. We actually had a prequel a few weeks ago of what this series was about when we looked at Ezekiel 37, this amazing story of Valley of Dry Bones. And we were asking ourselves if the Church of America and if our church is kind of like that valley of death, of all these skeletons, lifeless skeletons, that the prophet then prophesied to and actually came back to life. And then last week we began this That's My Church series. And the goal of this, or the idea behind the title of this teaching series, is twofold. Number one, that we hope that you will come to understand our mission and our purpose as a local congregation and say, that's my church. When you're out in the community, when you're talking with friends, when you're at work, and something spiritual comes up, you would say with as much righteous pride as you have, that's my church, that's where I go, and I'm on board with it in mission and purpose and how it's carrying out. But more importantly than that, I hope that we can hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the foundation, the one true foundation, as Steve already mentioned, of our church, that we can hear His voice proclaim, that's my church. That the things that we do, the things that we say, how we go about our business, that those things represent the heartbeat of Jesus Himself. And that we get the right things right. And that we kind of forget about the things that aren't so important. And that we focus on what Christ wants us to do. So today, as we continue this conversation of that's my church and trying to understand the mission and purpose of the church, I want to ask you three important questions. Just three important questions. And in your outline that's inside your bulletin today, if you received one at the door, it's a pink piece of paper. Those three questions are listed there for you. Three simple questions. If Jesus Christ is the Messiah, if Jesus Christ is God's own Son, then my first question is, why did He come to establish a church? What was He thinking when He came to establish this church? What did He have in mind? What did He picture when He was thinking about the church? Second question is, what is the purpose? What's the mission of the church? What are the things? What are we specifically supposed to be giving all of our time and attention to? What's the mission and purpose of the church? And then third, how do we know if we're succeeding at that mission? If we can understand the mission, if we can understand God's whole idea and vision of the church, how can we measure that to know if we're actually succeeding in accomplishing that mission? Those are three large questions. Those are weighty questions. And those are the questions we're going to look at in just a little while. I want you to begin to think about those. Wrap your mind around those. What are your thoughts? Even on your outline today, you can begin to jot down some notes or some thoughts about what you think. And then begin to work toward this in a few moments when we take some time to look at the Scriptures together of what God's church is really all about. Will you pray with me quickly? Father, I pray that You would inhabit our praise as we sing to You, as we proclaim Your truth through song. Come and fill us, make us new, challenge us to be Your church, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's dig into God's Word and continue to ask ourselves these three questions again. Can we do that? If you have your bulletin insert and you would like to follow along, I encourage you to take some notes and let's see what God reveals. Speaking to a friend in the hallway before the service, you know, there was a comment made about how much, you know, we've kind of enjoyed these tough talks about what the church is, why it exists, and what's going on with it. And, you know, it was kind of that, bring it, keep bringing it. And I said, this is my response, and I'll tell it to you all. Anything you glean from anything that I say is a God miracle, all right? Just write it down. If you're looking for a miracle, if you get any of what I'm saying, you're experiencing something quite divine, all right? Let's just be honest. So, we've asked ourselves several questions, and I want to start with this very first one. Why did Jesus need to build a church? Jesus came. It boils down to a very simple question in my mind. Okay? It's this simple. If Jesus really is the Son of God, which I believe that He is, if Jesus is God Himself, if He came from heaven, then why couldn't He just stay? Right? Why did Jesus need to do things and create such a thing so that the church had to be established by messed up men? I just wish. I mean, you know, He could kind of come whenever He wants, right? I mean, He's God. He's got some authority in that. I just wondered, this the nature of this question in my mind was, if Jesus is all that He says that He is, and I believe that He is, my question to Him is, why didn't you just hang out a little while longer? 3.5 years of public ministry wasn't enough for me. You know, 33 years of life. I mean, we only have very little of it even recorded. I just wish that Jesus could have hung out a little while and that we could be, you know, going to the first church of Jesus, wherever that would be. That would be awesome. So I've just found myself saying this just seems so hard that we would need to try to figure out the church when Jesus Himself just could have hung out a while longer. Why couldn't Jesus just still kind of make cameo appearances every once in a while? Like, hey, you know who's on the preaching docket today? Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? I just think it would be a whole lot better than what you normally get. And I would actually enjoy it. So we'd all be happy. But you know what? Jesus often said things to the crowd that people didn't like, did He? Kind of got Him in trouble a little bit. Because when Jesus spoke the truth, when Jesus said what He needed to say, sometimes we didn't always like it. So maybe it was a good thing that Jesus did leave. Maybe it's a good thing that He sent His Spirit in His place. Because the reality is, every time I get mad that I can't like hang out with Jesus, I have to remind myself, He didn't leave us alone. He didn't go away and say, good luck. Because if it's on us, we know it's all toast, right? But He sent His Spirit to speak to us, to challenge us, to renew us, to refresh us, to make us His people. And everything I say today, if we're not connected in the Spirit of God, is nothing but human effort. Okay? Hear this. If we're not connected as the Church of Jesus into His Spirit, then all we're doing is trying to do things really well out of our own strength and trying to keep up with every other church that's out there doing bigger and better things. I don't know about you, but I know how I feel about that. I've got better things to do. Okay? If we are not wanting as a church to get serious about connecting with the Spirit, and this is me included, in a way that is powerful, then we are just wasting our time. But the Spirit, when it comes, convicts us, challenges us, it encourages us, it speaks peace and joy into our spirit in such a way that we are figuring life out. I mean, the fullness of life. I was thinking about this on the way in. I'd like to get a billboard in Flushing that says, guilt-free living available, Flushing Community Church. And I don't think anybody would take us up on the offer because it seems too good to be true. You know, it's kind of like that cup holder you're seeing commercials for. It'll slide into your couch, you know, so you can hold a drink on the couch. Have you seen that advertised on TV lately? No, it's amazing. I mean, it's too good to be true. You mean I can put a cup holder on my couch and my kids can jump up and down and I won't spill a thing? Oh, $30 and I can have 4 of them. Who's not buying that? Okay, it's too good to be true, right? Guilt-free living is what the Spirit of God offers us. Because when He comes and He convicts and we change and we adapt and we transform, not in our strength, but through Him, all of a sudden we don't have the guilt and the shame that sin often brings and leaves in our wake. Okay? So, everything I say, without a strong desire to want to connect and hone in on the Spirit of God, is seriously a waste of time. So this question of what is the purpose of the church and why did Jesus come to even establish it is a great first question. There is this scene that John 3 records. It records the story of a man named Nicodemus, a religious leader, a God lover and a God follower, who is hearing Jesus and he's hearing Him speak in the temple courts. And just like every other religious leader, he's starting to draw some kind of a conclusion about this prophet or this rabbi or whoever Jesus might be. And so he decides to go undercover, and he comes to Jesus kind of in that mode. He doesn't want the paparazzi around. He doesn't want the cameras. He doesn't want anybody just kind of spying him out. He just simply wants to come and ask Jesus some questions. So he comes and he says, "Jesus, I listen to what you're saying. There is no doubt you are a great teacher. There is no doubt you are from God." In the 2011 vernacular, he would say, "Jesus, you rock, okay? I get what you're saying and I love it. But I want to know, how are we going to gain heaven? How is this eternal kingdom mind thing going to work?" Jesus really trips him up. He says, "Nicodemus, you know what you need? You need to be born again." He says, "Whoa, wait a minute. That's kind of strange. You're telling me I need to be born again? How can a man, a grown man for that matter, be put back into his mother to be born again? That doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to you either? No, that's weird." Jesus goes on to say, "I'm not talking about being born like that again. You were born once, Nicodemus, and you were born a Jew. Everything that you know is based on your birth. You were born into this family of God, and that's all that you know. But what I'm talking about now is you need to be born into the very Spirit of God. You need to be born into the very Spirit of God." And then we have these words recorded. John 3, beginning in verse 16. Some of you recognize it. This is from the Message paraphrase. "This is how much God loved the world, that He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. From the Message paraphrase, the most popular verses in our scriptures, followed by verse 17. God sent His Son not to start a brand new church. God sent His Son to redeem the church. God wasn't trying to do something brand new. He was sending His Son to get it back on the right course. In other words, Jesus came to show us, to show the entire world, the way to live that pleases God. He didn't live as a Pharisee, which was a common religious leadership group of the day, who were so strict on their rules they couldn't enjoy life at all. Everything was a rule with the Pharisees. He didn't come to live that way. He didn't come to live as a Sadducee who had no understanding or belief in the eternal things of the kingdom of God. He didn't even come as a zealot who was fighting for Israel's country and for their freedom. Jesus came to live according to the law, but to fulfill the law and to show us how to live in a way that pleases God. So why did Jesus come? Why did He come to establish a church? He came so that we would get it right. He came to live for us and demonstrate for us what it means to take the essence and the Spirit of God and live for Him. I don't think He was after establishing a church like we think of it. I think He was after you as an individual. I think He came for your heart. He came for your marriage, for your family. He came so that you could find the peace that God offers. And it's not found in law. It's not found in rules. It's not found in that regulation. It is only found in the Spirit of God. Second question we asked you is, with the understanding that there is a church, what is the mission? What did Jesus speak to us about what it meant to follow Him? I mean, really, God followers are essentially the church. We're just going to use that word to kind of talk about following Jesus. Quite honestly, out of our three questions, this might be the easiest one of them all. But let me caution you, this is also the most important. Because if we don't get the bullseye right, if we don't understand the target and the purpose of our mission, then again, we're just wasting our time. So is the mission to build great buildings? Kind of what we think of when we think of the church sometimes, isn't it? How beautiful the building is, or how cool of a gymnasium it might be. Is it selling books or music CDs, which has become a huge industry in our world? And I'm glad because I benefit from it. I'm challenged by that and encouraged by that. Did Jesus come to establish a church where we're growing larger and larger churches so that people can come in and not know anybody? Is the church supposed to look like a building that the thermostat is actually done correctly and everybody's pleased with the atmosphere? We all like to talk about the thermostat around here. I don't know why. Sam will get it right eventually. Just keep praying for him. I'm only saying that because he's not here. Okay? Is it about the pastor? Is it about the Pope, the priest, the elder, the staff? You know what? Jesus didn't talk about any of this stuff. Do you know why? It's not important. It's not important. That is not good news for me. Right? But it's not important. This isn't Terry's church. This is not about the team. This is about something much deeper. One day, a teacher of the law was listening to Jesus all afternoon. Jesus on this day had been grilled by leader after leader after leader of the Jewish faith. Hearing all these questions and all these answers, this teacher decided to ask one that had been nagging him for a while. He says, "Jesus, of all the commandments, of all that we know about God, which is the most important?" I mean, if we're going to funnel this down into just a phrase or one thing, tell me, Jesus, what would the one thing be that if we get it right, it's good? Okay? Here's the mission of our church. Because Jesus responds with these words. It'll be up on our screen. The most important, he answered, is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And I'll go one further. The second is this: "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Everything we know to be right about the church hinges on our understanding of this: loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, soul, and strength. If we don't do these things, we are not getting it right. All that we do must be measured against these commandments. So how will we love and treat God will directly impact the ability to love and treat others correctly. How we love and treat God will directly impact our ability to love others correctly. Our relationship to God is directly connected to our relationship with others. This thing, this mission of the church, it is relational. It is not duty. Churches that want to tell you that you have to do this or pay that or say this prayer or do these things and be this ritual and do that, I want to challenge them and say, I think you're missing it. The essence of who we are to be as a church is to love God supremely with every ounce of our being. Whether we're 5 years old or 85 years old, we've got to learn how to love God with all that we've got, and then that will be the natural response to love others that same way. We have got to be relational, not duty driven. And I hear this all the time. "Oh, I'm sorry I haven't been to church in so long. I'm sorry that I haven't been on a Sunday in so long. I've been busy. I've had this going." And many of you have shared that with me. And I understand the guilt that comes with seeing me at the store and getting a letter from me occasionally saying, "Where are you?" I'm good at giving guilt. Okay? That's not our goal. That cannot be our goal. If putting they used to say butts in the pews, butts in the seats is the goal, then we're missing it. All we're doing is building another building, and all we're doing is doing the wrong thing all over again. But if our goal is to help you love God with all you've got, what else would you want to do but to come into His presence and be here on a regular basis? Being here is the byproduct of getting the mission right. Does that make sense? Is that connecting? So I don't want you here because I want your money or I want, you know, a full place, although that's great. I'm just telling you, to see a full place means you're getting the right thing right. Your desire to want to worship God and lift your hands and proclaim His faithfulness to you means you're getting the right things right. That you're loving God with all that you've got is why we do what we do. A third question. A third question we have to ask ourselves. How do we know if we're succeeding at this mission? Matthew 7, Jesus records these words. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. How will we know if we're succeeding? How will we know if we're a church that's getting it right? How will we know if we're really on mission and doing what God is asking us to do? It's a crazy answer. But it will be by our fruit. What does that mean? Paul explains it further in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, we hear these words. Against these things there is no law. I read somewhere in reading about this that if we all could understand how to connect with the Spirit and allow the fruit to be born in us, that we would need no law. That if we lived according to this idea, with these things coming out of us, there would be no need for a law. There would be no need for rules. We would just be getting it. So when we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, what will naturally happen? Fruit. Fruit is a byproduct of the mission and the heartbeat of God. I think about what each of these mean. The first three of these fruits, they come from God alone. They are inward. They are part of who we are on the inside. The first one being love. It's a self-sacrificing and unchanging kind of love. Not the kind of love that our world likes to talk about, like I love my dog. I mean, that's a good love too, or I love my cat. But God's love, agape, is unchanging without any kind of stipulations. Joy. An inner rejoicing despite the outer circumstances in our life. Wow. Do you have that kind of joy in you? That despite whatever else is going on around you, and there's a lot of junk in us, there's a lot of junk in our world, do you have something deeper that comes from God? That joy? How about peace? A quiet trust in God's sovereignty, God's power, God's authority. These next three fruit, they focus on our relationship with others. Look at them. Patience is the first one. The word we used in the scripture was forbearance. This patience is patiently putting up with people who drive us a little crazy. This doesn't say that those people will go away. It doesn't even say that they won't stop driving us crazy. It says that we'll have the ability to deal with those people the way God wants to deal with those people. That there will be something deeper within us, this patience that comes. How about kindness? Kindness takes the initiative on being charitable toward others and helping other people out. How about goodness? reaching out and doing good to others. Are these fruit evident in our lives? Are these fruit evident in our church? Are we seeing these fruit blossom in our lives? These last three fruit, they kind of represent some general traits to guide our lives. Faithfulness, to be reliable and trustworthy. Gentleness, to be humble and considerate of others. And I think the last is definitely not least. It might be what our world and our society and you and I struggle with the most, self-control. That we would have a mastery over sinful desires. I want the fruit of God. To live in my life in such a way that everybody can see it. That you don't question my heart. That I don't question your heart. But that we are loving the Lord our God with all that we have. And that fruit is just budding like crazy. And it's never just in season or out of season. I mean, all the time kind of fruit. I don't want to have to ship my spiritual fruit in from a warm climate. Peace to the Poindexters who are finding a warm climate very soon. Okay? But I don't want your fruit. I want the fruit that's right here, right now, budding all the time, being nurtured and cultivated by God's Spirit. Because we're in the Word of God and we're searching the things of God. We're praying and seeking God. And that cultivates this ground that is our heart. And out of that cultivation, God's Spirit can work. And it works in the heart of the teenager. It works in the heart of the young adult. It works in the heart of everyone. That the fruit of God can be evident to us. That is when we know we're getting it. That's when we know we're succeeding. When we see the fruit evident in our lives. Well, you mean we don't know if we're succeeding if our numbers are growing? No. Because I know a lot of churches who have grown for all the wrong reasons. And I know a lot of churches who have been in decline for all the right reasons. And none of that makes sense. None of it. And it scares me to death. We will know we're succeeding as a church. I will know that you're succeeding as a believer when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'll know that you're doing it by the way you treat your neighbor and by the fruit that's evident in your life. We're going to sing about this love. We're going to sing about the fact that we need to proclaim God's love to our world. We're going to sing about how we are to love the Lord our God with all that we've got, because that is the heartbeat of our mission. That is the heartbeat of what we are to do, to let God in every part of our life, to let Him rule, and to let our love flow out onto Him. God, inhabit our praise just now. Let us sing with truth. Let us even sing with confession. Let us proclaim this song, and may it be our prayer that we do want to love You and proclaim Your goodness with all that we have. Come in and fill us with Your Spirit. Cultivate our soil. Help us to know, God, that You want the fruit of the Spirit dwelling and living in us. And help us to live in such a way that we see it and experience it. God, fill us now with Your love, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to keep playing that, Steve. I want us to think about something. This is kind of the conclusion part of the message. And I think that it's appropriate to ask you this question today. Is God ruling in your heart supremely? Or is coming to church been what you've been kind of focused on in your life? Finding the right church. Is your focus been the people and how friendly and how kind everybody is, and do they like me for, you know? Or has your focus been God rule in my heart? In the Nazarene church, we would call this sanctification. I don't care what anybody calls it. The reality is we need to come to a decision in our life where we allow God to have complete access. that His mission and purpose in our life is our mission and purpose. That His love is embraced in such a way that we are radically transformed into His children. I can't explain it because it's spiritual. I can't tell you what it would be like and what that experience might be for you because it's individual. But I'll tell you this. To actually come to a place where you surrender and let God lead you, where we can say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, then that is where God wants you to be. That is where God wants you to be. So I ask you, can you hear the voice of God saying, would you take a step closer to me? Can you hear the voice of God saying, will you please come and let me into your heart because you've been pushing me aside for far too long? And yeah, you've been giving your money and yeah, you've been coming to church, but I'm asking, can I have more of your heart? And will you love me with all of it? That's the question for today. Because the rest of what I have to say is all about tools. You know, really, everything we have here is just a tool to help us love God more. And if this building doesn't help us love God more, then we need to get a new building. If the pastor and the staff and the teachers and small group leaders, if they're not helping us all love God more and help us love our neighbors more, then we need to get new ones. We need to look at ways we can do this better. These are tools. They're not the focus. The focus is what you do with this question. Will you let God have more of you today? And maybe for some of you, it's the first step. Maybe some of you are saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. There is a God who loves you, who knows you by name, who is asking you today, will you come and be in relationship with me? Let me lead you. Let me love you. Let me in. He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. What will your response be today? Father, in heaven, You are holy. I pray that what we've done here today has honored You and pointed us toward what this is really about, the Christian walk of loving You with all of our hearts supremely. God, help our church be the church by how we respond to You. I want to ask, with your eyes closed, that you would pray a prayer for you. That God would reveal Himself and His Spirit to you. Listen for His voice. Are there any here today? Are you sitting here today feeling what we might call in the church convicted? Or thinking about, yeah, I know I've been holding God far too away from me and I want to let Him in. I want God to have more of my heart than I've let Him have before this moment. Is that you today? Oh, I pray that if it is, you would say a simple prayer. A simple prayer of come on in, Jesus. Come on in. Here I am. It's a prayer for the believer. It's a prayer for the seeker. It's a prayer for the confused. It's a prayer for every one of us here today, me included. Come on in, Jesus. You can have more of me. Do you want that prayer today? Is that in your heart today? Are you willing to say yes to that today? I hope you are. I hope that today is a day that you say, yes, Jesus, come on in. Come on in. Are there any here today who would like to just lift your hand with all eyes closed and just me looking so that I know how to pray for you that said, Terry, I've asked Jesus, He's got more of my property. He's got more of my heart. I want Him to come into my heart even more today. Would you slip your hand in the air so I could see that God is doing something in you today? That you're done pushing Him aside and you want Him to come in more. There are hands all over the place. Don't be shy. If that is you, put your hand in the air so that God can see, so that I know how to pray. Father, all over this place, You have spoken. These are miracles. These are miracles. God, rule in our hearts today and help us be the church that You desperately want us to be. Help us be the children that give you glory and honor. Help our lives to be fruitful and in so giving you glory. Helping others see you because of our fruit. May other people be attracted to our fruit. May other people, Lord God, be drawn in because of our fruit. May our love for you turn into an abundance of harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Take over our lives. Give us the peace we so desperately seek. And may our lives give you glory in return. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. Fullness of your Spirit working in our lives and cultivating our hearts to be exactly the way you'd want us to be. That's when we're the church, God. And that's what this pastor wants to see. A church that's hungry, hungry for the fruit of your Spirit manifesting itself in our lives on a daily basis. God, thank you for these hands that have been raised, these hearts that have been warmed. I pray that you would honor their prayers, flood them with your Spirit this week, and help us as a church to rock. Help us to give you glory today, to give you praise today, to give you honor today by all that we do and say. We want you to be glorified in all that we do, in all that we say, in our love for you and in our love for our neighbor. We want you to be glorified. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, who makes all of this possible. Amen. And amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.